Paul Ehrwetter with Medscape Infectious Diseases, and speaking from the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. I've just finished a few weeks in the hospital on the Infectious Diseases Consultation Service, and with the busy H3N2 influenza season this winter, I'm sure many of you have also seen a number of serious hospitalizations and also deaths from this particular infection. Two cases of MRSA pneumonia for patients who have ended up on ventilators in the ICU particularly prompted some questions on our team, including, for example, why does Staph aureus and MRSA in particular seem to have such predilection for causing secondary bacterial pneumonia? And then also, how do you best treat this? The third would be what kind of prevention strategies? First, about pathogenesis, murine and primate model information had suggested that influenza as a viral infection may prompt the immune system to produce certain interferons that might negatively impact, for example, on chemokines and other factors related to neutrophil recruitment and function. This may be one particular aspect, but 2 years ago, a study by Redinger, I think, was really quite interesting, where they took a different hypothesis. And they thought that in the setting of a severe influenza infection with very high fevers, cortisol and stress responses, perhaps even hypoperfusion, that these factors may lead to disruption of the biofilm in the nasal passages. About a third of people may harbor Staphylococcus aureus in the nostrils, and this dispersal from the biofilm in this setting may then lead to essentially an aspiration of the Staph aureus into the lungs, which might be more susceptible to infection. So an interesting hypothesis there that had been backed up, at least in their studies, and raises a question of whether actually antipyretics may have some benefit in this particular avenue. The second was, how do you best treat MRSA pneumonia? This, of course, has been debated a long while, with vancomycin and linezolid being the leading candidates. A number of meta-analyses really had not suggested any difference between these two drugs, although vancomycin in many of these studies had been underdosed. A study in 2012 by Wunderink comparing head-to-head linezolid and vancomycin found linezolid the winner, with a 58% versus 47% clinical benefit in the favor of linezolid, with also superior microbiologic eradication. However, at the 60-day mark, there's really no difference in all-cause mortality. So both the IDSA and American Thoracic Society recommendations looking at HAP and VAP, which is a slightly different area for MRSA pneumonia as opposed to solely post-influenza MRSA pneumonia, said that they had no preference for those. So I think many times we take individual patient factors into an account, for example, if there's concerns for nephrotoxicity or perhaps cytopenias that may cause one to favor vancomycin over linezolid. The last area is just clearly from prevention. With this ferocious influenza season, I think it has become obvious that we need to do better with prevention. Specifically, influenza vaccines need to be reformulated every year. And this year, there's estimates that it's perhaps only about as effective in the mid-30s, although perhaps better amongst pediatric populations. But many people, of course, don't even get immunized in both adult and child populations. So there seems to be a genuine need that I would view as quite urgent, that more efforts be given to developing a universal influenza vaccine, one that might be more durable, would cover most strains. This not only would lead to less influenza and hospitalizations and deaths, but also would have a huge economic impact, as you might imagine, if there's less absenteeism from work or school, as well as the benefits to individual health. I actually was honored to be asked by Senator Markey from Massachusetts to speak at legislation last week that he introduced, asking for a $1 billion investment in science and development for production of a universal influenza vaccine. I think this is something that certainly is extremely ripe to push along at a far faster pace than has been allocated by our current agencies. Thanks very much for listening.